Parshas Vayigash, we find the Yosef HaTzadik finally reveals himself to his brothers after pretending to be a stranger to them, second in command to Pharaoh, and suddenly can't hold himself back. He says the famous words, "Ani Yosef, ha'od avichai, I'm Yosef, is my father still alive?" There's a well-known midrash which goes as follows: "Oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom atochecha. Woe to us in the day of judgment, woe to us in the day of rebuke. Yosef ktanan shel shvatim haya." Yosef was one of the youngest of the shvatim. "V'lo yecholim lamod betochachto." Yet his brothers couldn't withstand his rebuke. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he in the future reveals to each and every one of us, all the more so, how much more so are we going to be shocked and not be able to withstand his rebuke towards us? So there's a few questions here which Meforshim raise. The main question is, where is the tochacha over here? What does Yosef say? He says, "I am your brother. Is our father still alive?" That's all he said, those few words. We don't seem to find any rebuke. He wasn't giving his brothers rebuke in any way. And secondly, why were the brothers so shocked? It says right after that, "V'lo yachlu echav lanos oso ki nivhalu bipanav." They couldn't answer him because they were shocked. Well, what are they so shocked about? Lichlora, they were shocked as in the idea of being as in scared. Why were they so scared about? They thought that they were, what they did was justified. Yes, it's true, they sold Joseph as a slave, but they in their own minds thought that what they're doing was a din. They were supposed to do what they did. So what were they so, why were they so shocked and nervous and scared when they saw Joseph, when really they did in their own minds what they thought was the correct thing? And lastly, the side question, why is it so important to mention over here, what's the idea that Yosef was of the youngest of the Shvatim? If you'll say, it's in order to build the Kal Vachomer. And say, well, if Yosef, they were shocked to Yosef, who was the younger one, all the more so we have to be shocked to Hashem. But even though Yosef, yes, was one of the youngest in age, but that's not the important part here. The important point is that Yosef was the greatest of the Shvatim in stature. So therefore, there was what's the idea that he was youngest in age? That's not the point over here. So to answer these questions, perhaps, give a different outlook, there's the Mesilas Yesharim in the fourth parak. This is the parak discussing Zahiris, being careful. And he mentions different levels of people. And he calls one level the Ptayim, the fools. And he says, Bekitzer, that there's a certain group of people, he calls them the fools, that here in this world, he said, they don't put too much effort in their Yiddishkeit, in their observance of the Torah and mitzvahs. What do they say? They say, we don't want to be pigs. Right, why should we take so much olam haba? It's a nice enough if we have a little bit. We'll do a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there. Right, why should we pigs and take so much olam haba? Okay, why you want? No, take a little bit. He says, why are these people called fools? Because they don't realize that yes, here they might think, why should we take so much? But when they get to the next world, they'll see, they'll be shocked. And to find that they should have really taken a lot when they could have over here. And this feeling of being upset when they find the real truth, and they find out what they could have accomplished here and they didn't, and how elevated they should have taken a lot over here, this feeling of being, so to speak, upset will be with them for eternity in the next world. one little introduction before we answer original questions. Rashi says, on the pasuk, Veskol v'nochachas, he says that the word v'nochachas, that's Lashon tochacha, Rashi says, the Lashon hochacha b'chol makom berur dvarim. Rashi says, anytime we have in the Torah the word tochacha or hochacha, that we translate it as rebuke. But Rashi says what it really means is clarification, berur hadvarim, when things become clear. Now, what's the connection being when you rebuke somebody? You're clarifying, you're making clear to them what they did wrong, and then so that they should do tshuva. And therefore, back to the brothers of Yosef. The brothers, they weren't jealous of Yosef, right, in their own minds. They thought, why should we be jealous of him? He's just Ketanchik. He's a little, he's one of the younger brothers. Oh, we have nothing to be jealous about. They thought they weren't jealous. However, the Torah is Me'i, the Torah testifies, the Kanu Barachav, that they were really jealous of Yosef. But they didn't feel it in their own conscious minds. It was only in their subconscious. But now, what happened when Yosef revealed himself? Well, how did he reveal himself? He revealed himself as being the boss, this person that they were scared of, and that was telling him to do this and go do that, and they realized they were he could do what he wants with them. All of a sudden, this was Yosef, and they were shocked. But along with the shock was this element of jealousy now. Because now, they said, oh my gosh, we thought he's just a nobody, a younger brother. But now they say, whoa, look where he's come to. He's the viceroy in Egypt, and he's in control, and look what he can do to us, and look who he is. All of a sudden, they had a certain jealousy. But now, for the first time, they saw the jealousy. They felt it. And that's the tochacha. When Yosef revealed himself, I mean Yosef, now this jealousy, which they always had in their deep down, their subconscious, came to their conscious. Now they felt the jealousy. It goes, oh, he's so much greater than, look who he is, this great person. And they felt the jealousy, they saw the jealousy. So this younger brother, which they called nobody, now all of a sudden is this great person. What is a doma to? It would be like workers in some factory, where one day, one of the petty workers was given a promotion to be the president of the company. How do you think the other workers would feel? They go, oh, what's going on over our fellow worker over here? All of a sudden, he's the president of the company? That's not fair. I feel this jealousy. That's how the brothers, per se, felt when they saw all of a sudden their brother Yosef being this viceroy of Egypt. So now they thought, whoa, we thought we weren't jealous. We thought so. But now we see we were jealous. Now we see the jealousy. We can feel the jealousy. So now we can explain, therefore, the answer to our questions. Where was the tochacha? We explained where the tochacha was. As we said, tochacha means clarification. Right? So it was clarified in their own minds. They saw, they felt the jealousy which they had that they had the whole time. And we asked before, why were they so shocked? They thought they were right in what they were doing. Yes, they were shocked not about that what they thought they did. They were shocked in that they didn't realize their jealousy until they felt it right now. And lastly, we asked why he mentioned that he was the Ketanim of the Shvatim, to show that this is what it was all based on. They thought that he was a nobody, and now they saw who he really was. And this is what brought the clarification of that the source of everything was that they were jealous, now they felt it, now they saw it. Now, we all have a little bit of this, what the Nesilas Yesharim calls this, the way the fools are, that we tend to be lax a little bit in our Torah and our mitzvahs. Maybe we don't say that we don't want to be, pigs about it, but still, we're not burning in our observance of our Torah and mitzvahs. And what's the reason of it? The reason behind it is also we don't realize the value of the mitzvahs. We really realize and understand what a mitzvah is, so then we take it much more serious. There's Mashal told the Chafetz Chaim. He says somebody once came to him And they asked the Lechura, doesn't it say that one mitzvah is worth more than this entire world? So the Chafetz Chaim said, yes, that's what Chazal tell us. So he says, I don't understand something. Why can't Hashem just give me the schar, therefore, for one mitzvah? I, Baruch Hashem, I do a number of mitzvahs. Let me just cash in on one of them. If the value of one mitzvah is worth more than the entire world, so, good, let me cash in on one of them. I know plenty of mitzvahs. Okay, well, I'll give up one and have why don't I get this whole world, you know, wealth and covet, etc. So the Chafetz Chaim answered him with the following mashal. He says, there was once a boy, a little boy, 7-year-old boy, and he was playing around his house, and he sees lying on the table a wallet. He sees his father's wallet. He opens it up, and he notices a $100 bill. He goes, wow, money. So he takes out the money, and he goes to the candy store. He goes to the candy store, he buys some candy, brings it home. So later the father comes home from work, and he's worried about where his wallet. He realized he didn't have his wallet with him during the day. He's looking around, goes, oh, there it is. Picks up his wallet. No, this is the $100 bill's missing. So he investigates where to go. Anyways, he found out what happened. His kid took it. So he says, what did you do with the money? He says, well, I went to the candy store. He says, why? You went to the candy store? Which candy store? So come with me. Take me to the candy store. So this little boy takes his father to the candy store. And he says to the owner, did my son come in here today? He says, yeah. And he bought candy? He says, yeah. So he says, well, he paid with it $100 bill? He goes, yeah. So he says, well, give me my money back, the $100 bill. He says, excuse me, sir. He came in, he paid the money, he bought the candy. Why should I give you your money back? He says, come on, listen. And then when you see a little kid come into a store with a $100 bill, you realize something fishy over here. It's probably not his. He got it from somewhere. So yeah, you take it. You say, here, let me see the money. You hang on to it, and then you return it to the father. You don't just sell him the candy. So too says the Chafetz Chaim, we're like these little kids. He says, we don't realize what the money is, the value of money, and the value of mitzvahs. And therefore, he says, we're now, we say, oh, let me cash in on one mitzvah, you know, give me money, give me this, give me that. I'll just use it one of my mitzvahs. He said, if you only knew what would be when you come to the next world and you're missing that one mitzvah, you wouldn't say that so quickly. He said, yeah, what's one mitzvah? You don't realize the value of one mitzvah. And therefore, you say, I'll cash in. You come to the next world, you'll be very, very upset if you cashed in even on one of these mitzvahs. Again, we just don't realize the value. The story told of Rav Kreisworth, Zatzal, he relates that there's once a din Torah between two diamond dealers. And they work on the commission. And they were having a machloikas, right? One with purchase from the other one, whatever. And they're arguing how much commission. So one says, well, I deserve my commission of 0.0001%. And the other one said, well, no, it's not true. You deserve 0.0001%, not 2%, whatever. There are. So Rav Kreisworth, he says, what are they arguing? 0.00, so who cares? Such a little. He said, no, you understand. If we're talking about $100 profit, it's true. What's 0.0000% or 1%? It's nothing. And when you're talking about diamonds, talking about millions and millions of dollars, then 0.0001% or 2%, well, that's a tremendous amount of money. So too with mitzvahs, you don't realize. So you're dealing with such a commodity, such a tremendous, tremendous amount of scar. One little thing less, it makes a big, big difference. So too, therefore, we have to realize that. We have to realize very carefully the value of the mitzvahs. If we did, then we'll do it with much more bran. I'll share with you a story that is brought down in a sefer called Rav Yaakov, by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. It relates this mice of Rav Lev Chassid Mikel. In his later years, he was taking he was walking on the street, going from Kelm to another place, And this young man drives by in a with his horse and buggy, and he says, he calls to stop. He sees the Rav, says, "Oh, please, Rabbi, come on, I'll take you. Where are you going?" So he was about to get on. He says, "Wait a second." He notices he's a young guy driving. He says, "Where'd you get this wagon?" He says, "I borrowed it." He says, "From who?" "From my father." She says, "Did you ask your father if you can take people in this, pick up people on the way?" He says, "No, I never asked them." So he says, "I'm not going to go then." He says, "Why not? Come on." He says, "No, if you didn't get permission, so if I go on this wagon, he says, that's like stealing. Therefore, no thanks, I'll walk. And they said, where does this source for this? We see perhaps the source for this din, in fact, from our Sedra. It says that when Yaakov Avinu was going to now to finally see his son after all these years, Yosef, going to Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says that Rav Od Yosef and Yichai Alchem Erenu B'Termud, I want to go see Yosef before I die. And then it says, V'yasa Yisrael V'chol Asher Lo V'yavo Beersheba. So he traveled and he went to Beersheba. In the meantime, he stopped there. He had a nevuah. And then Yaakov continued on from Beersheba. V'yakam Yaakov Beersheba. And it says, the Yisu b'nei Yisrael is Yaakov. They took Yaakov, their father, and everybody on the agalot, on the wagons, as Yershalach Paro l'seisosa. So the question is asked, why the difference in the Lashon? On the way to Mitzrayim, before they got to Beersheba, it doesn't say anything that he traveled in the wagons that Paro sent. But now, when he's traveling from Beersheba now to Mitzrayim, it says that Yaakov went in the wagons that Paro sent. Why the difference? So they explain that you could see this idea. That when Paro, he sent wagons to pick up Yaakov. His intent was that Yaakov should come down to Mitzrayim and live there permanently. Yaakov wasn't interested. He wanted to go just visit Yosef, his son, but then come back there to Yisrael. So therefore, he said, I can't use these wagons. Why? Because that's not the intent of the owner. Paro, who owns these wagons, sent them that I should ride them in order to come to Mitzrayim for good. But I'm not interested in that. I just want to go visit. So therefore, I can't be using the wagons for the wrong purposes. And that was only until he got to Beersheba. But once he was in Beersheba, so then what had happened? Then God appeared to him, and he said, don't worry, I'll tira mirdam Mitzrayim, ki lagoy gadol asim chasham. Because I'm going to make you a great nation over there. All of a sudden Yaakov heard from God that he's staying there. He's going to become a great nation in Mitzrayim. So now, from Beersheba to Mitzrayim, he can use the wagons now. because Pharaoh said that he should go live there permanently. And now he saw that's what exactly was going to happen. God just told him that. So now he can use the wagons. However, when we hear a story like this, no, you can't use it, the wagon, I can't use the wagon, and that's not what's born for. We think, come on, what is this, a fanatic? Again, we don't appreciate what does it mean to be careful, extra careful in mitzvah, to be careful in gezel. This is Smaisa with the Chafetz Chaim, says that when the time around the First World War, he was very, very poor. And somebody, a wealthy man, sent him some money. Sent him 300 rubles, which is a lot of money in those days. He received the envelope, opens it up, he reads the letter with the money, and then he calls over one of his talmidim and he says, I want you to take this money and return it to the person who sent it. So he said, Rebbe, why? Look at your poverty, you can't afford it. What's wrong? Why can't you take the money? He said, I'll tell you why. He said, look what it says in the letter. It says, "Lichvod a Rav, a Gon, a Tzadik, a Chassid, Remeir, Yisrael Meir." So he says, "I can't take this money because the person that sent it to me thought I'm a Gon, a Chassid, a Tzadik, and I'm not any of these things. So to take this money would take it on false grounds. He said that it's Gon, a Tzadik, but I'm not any of these things. So I can't take the money. That's it." So the Talmud said, come on, Rabbi, look at you, you only have bread and things. So he got angry and he says, what are you talking about? He says, if some milk fell on a piece of meat, Okay? You know, the simplest a woman working in the kitchen, a maid, right, would immediately throw it away, right? Milk on a piece of meat. Right? Of course you can't stay away from it. What's the shiloh? So too here. Gezel, right? How can I think of the money? What? Poor. What, nothing doing. Milk and meat, I heard nobody would eat. So how can you take Gezel? So he sent the money back, and he wasn't calm until he verified that the money, in fact, got right back to the owner. Similarly, being careful, there's a story in the Echoes of the Magi of Crone, relates there's a woman, one summer, she gave birth to a premature baby in the mountains and in New York. And the baby was taken by helicopter to hospital. It was a very serious pikuach nefesh situation. Anyways, the baby needed a number of blood transfusions. So the father was in the hospital, of course, visiting his wife, the baby. And he asked the doctors anything he could do. He's so thankful what they're doing for his son. He said, maybe I can give some blood for the transfusions. So they checked his blood, and he had the same blood type, and they said, sure, that'd be very great. We have a blood bank here, please. So he went to give blood, and he had his son with him. And his son was a teenager. They came to give blood, and the son said, you know, I want to also give for my newborn brother. I want to also give blood. So the father says, okay. They get to where they take the blood, and they see a sign, and the father turns to his son and says, no, you can't give. He says, why not? He says, well, look at the sign. It says, nobody under 17 years old is allowed to give blood. So the boy says, okay, Abba, I see, but I'm going to be 17 in 2 weeks. So he says, okay, it's 2 weeks, but you're not 17. He says, I'm sure it's okay. He says, no, it's not emes. You have to be emes thing, and it says 17, you're not 17. He says, I'm sure if I ask a rav, he'd let me do it. And then he says, listen, I don't want you to ask any rav, because even if the rav would say, maybe it's okay, but I don't want you to, you know, take advantage of it. Because when you're a little makel here, next thing you'll be makel there, whatever. The father was insisting the son should not give the blood. And he didn't. What happened? A few days later, this boy, this 16, almost 17-year-old boy, was in a car accident. And he was a very serious car accident, and he lost a tremendous amount of blood. In fact, so much so that when the ambulance came to keep him alive, they had to give him concentrated blood right on the spot because he lost so much blood. Anyways, the father later, you know, he survived, and later the father, speaking to the doctors, mentioned this incident about how he was about to give blood, you know, a few days earlier. And the doctor said, if you would have given the blood a few days earlier in the hospital, he says he wouldn't be alive today. Because he would have lost the body wouldn't have enough time to replenish. And as it is, he lost a lot of blood. If he would have been without the blood, because he would have given it a few days earlier, he would have for sure been dead. So here you see, because of his Ehrlichkeit, his being straight, he was an emistic, saved the boy's life. So again, we have to be extra careful, be extra machmir, in all mitzvahs. To end with an interesting mashal I heard once, that we talk about being machmir, right? So I said, what's this idea? You know, it's allowed or it's not allowed. Why don't you be extra careful, extra... Well, what's the idea about being machmir, chumras? So, a certain nice mashal once, so let's say somebody won a lottery. So he goes to, takes the winning ticket, and he goes to cash in. So in the bank, they give him this, you know, huge amount of money, and he's wrapped up in this envelope, whatever, and he takes the money, and he puts it in his pocket. So he said, when he's traveling home, he doesn't, you know, didn't have enough time to buy a new car yet, or whatever, and he's coming home on the bus or the subway, he says, what is he going to do? He says, every second, he's going to touch his pocket. Some money there, right? Feel his pocket. Now, if we would think of things totally logically and open-minded, how many times do you think it's important to check your pockets and that something doesn't get stolen from it? Maybe every 5 minutes, or whatever. But this guy is checking every minute. Why? What's the purpose? The idea is, since it's so important to him, and he has a lot of money over here, it's true, really, you don't have to check the pocket every 10 seconds, but he can't help it because it's so much money and he's scared to lose it. So too, that's the idea of being machmir. right? It's true, maybe, according to the actual letter of the law, but being machmir is showing that I value the mitzvah. It's so important to me. It's true, maybe I could get by, but it's like feeling a pocket. So if it's important to you, you do extra because it's something chashuv to you. So too, being machmir, maybe the halakha strict letter says you could do this, you do that, but it means so much to me. I realize what a mitzvah is, so I want to do extra more and be extra careful and do things more than just a disaster to me. Like the person feeling is his pocket. That's a lesson we all have to take and to learn to value the mitzvahs, which comes from learning about the mitzvahs, understanding them, and learning mussar, and realizing that here you might say, mitzvah, but what the person gets to the next world, like we mentioned, there's going to be this tochacha, this rebuke of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we see from Yosef, that Allah taskama v'kama, how much more a person could be in great shock when he sees that, when he said, who cares, mitzvah, that, not so important, he's going to see the value, and it's going to make an impression. So alavai, that we shouldn't be faced with this busha and this shock in Olam HaEmes by putting our efforts here when we have a chance. And Kadosh Baruch Hu should crown our efforts here in the ultimate schus, bringing us the Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehirah b'yameinu.